Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. Ladies and gentlemen, a new nut hath arrived. April ushers in the return of not just spring, but a new Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a sample pack of Brewpub Jerky. Jerky, expertly crafted to drink with beer. We've also got a sample pack of Renewed Chaga Chino to make sure your coffee isn't just giving you jitters in the morning. When you're putting shrooms or snickerdoodle coffee mate in your cup of joe, make sure you rinse it after. This month, we've got a mug to remind you to do just that after you're done. And finally, you know the guys from Caviar Farm well enough by now. And this month, you'll get a $25 off coupon to be used site-wide at thecaviarfarm.com. We're not sure how we did it, but this entire box is just $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. Sign up for one or keep the shipments coming at CorollaDrinks.com.
Geico.
Oh, yeah.
Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Boy, I sure would. Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your boat, your RV, even homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, get this. Add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico is basically a no-brainer. So, switch today. See how you could save. Simply go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. Get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get it on. Mandate. Get it on. And welcome to the best hour or so of the universe with Mark Garagus in studio. It's Reasonable Doubt.
In studio. Did a court hearing in your beautiful conference room. I feel like I've accomplished quite a bit today.
Well, we're always glad to see you in person. Alex Villanueva, the sheriff of Los Angeles County, is going to be joining us post-haste. He's waging a war against the LA Times, maybe the city council. They're trying to get him out of there.
The county board of supervisors and the LA Times have decided, first of all, he's pushed back on the county board of supervisors amazingly. And then I'll let him talk about what he's done with the LA Times, because it's amazing to me. You have – how many times we've talked about that your issue with the Times is, if you're going to be a reporter, why are you endorsing?
Yes.
And that's been your philosophy. Well, you're in theory, he's in practice.
Well, you know, you look no further than we always talk about the Hunter Biden laptop thing. The New York Times endorses Joe Biden. Now it's 3 weeks before the election. Why are you going to report on a laptop that could sink the guy you've endorsed campaign? You've endorsed him.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking baseball umpire endorsing one of the teams before the game. And then we expect you're going to call balls and strikes, but it doesn't seem like you're calling balls and strikes. Why put you – it's an untenable position. I don't get it.
It's not only that, but when you take a look at – I mean, first of all, the LA Times – Gary, you let me know when we've got the sheriff, because I would love his reaction to this. The LA Times really has crossed the line.
They crossed it with Dr. Drew when he was trying to volunteer for being part of the homeless situation committee. You know, they do that thing where they go, Larry Elder's running against Gavin Newsom. We endorse Gavin Newsom, and here's an article about how Larry's a racist.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's a business model.
I don't either, man. I mean, since Patrick Shun has bought the Times, if you believe the published reports, he sunk $132 million into the Times in a losing effort. By the way, do you know the reason he bought the Times?
Mm-mm.
He was getting excoriated in the media back in 2017. And then there was this scandal that they've tried to cover up where one of the owners was out there talking about the Jewish cabal that was buying L.A., and they were referring to Eli Broad, who's got the museum downtown. And that they kind of swept that under the rug. It went into mediation. But it's reported that there's actually a tape out there, a audio tape, of this guy, the owner that was hooked up with Patrick Schoen, talking about a Jewish cabal. Then I'm told that they were doing a hit piece at the Times, and he hires crisis managers, Patrick Schoen, to try to deep six the hit piece. And when he got to a certain point and he had killed the story with the Times, you know what he does then? He just buys the Times so that he can kill stories, negative stories about him.
Well, Villanueva is not having any of it. They wanted the mandates. I think he's been doing battle over the homeless situation, maybe famously down at Venice Beach.
Absolutely. He went over to Venice, which is traditionally, maybe he'll push back on it, but a LAPD jurisdiction. And by the way, I know from which I speak because I talked to both the activists, homeless activist groups and the homeowner activist groups, both of whom say basically – the place is a demilitarized zone. You know, they've just kind of thrown up their hands. The sheriff went in to try to do something.
Sometime in the last 24 hours, he said that he's going into Hollywood and he's going to do the same thing as he did in Venice. And, of course, there are Hollywood politicians going, no, and throwing up their hands. And then there's business owners going, yes, please, please do this.
I could not imagine. I mean, I'm sitting 3 feet away from one, but I could not imagine running a business where there was a pile of homeless people outside every day.
I will
and
tell
the exorbitant
you,
taxes and regulations that you have to deal with.
That Lebanon Alley that is behind the Edging Company is such a shithole, for lack of a better term. And there's guys shooting up there. There's guys. It's now become a Chick-fil-A breeding ground. Right there, because Chick-fil-A is right around the corner. It's kind of the drive-through. But it used to be that the sheriff patrolled the MTA stop, which is right next door to us. When the sheriff pulled out, the previous sheriff, it was like overnight. That was the end of that. And now it's just – it's a battle. It's a constant battle.
It's what I always say. It's like step back, leave your lawn alone for 9 months. Let nature just sort of – kick in the way God wanted it. It's a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
It's a constant pruning and battling and cutting and primping. It's weeding. It's just that's what life is. And if you step back and go, how about we just leave the weeds alone for a while? Okay.
Well,
tell me what it looks like.
They're doing the Times has decided to do a similar move with Rick Caruso.
Looks like the sheriff may be coming in, so I'll let him in and you guys can keep talking.
Oh, okay. They're going after Caruso.
Yeah, man. They're going after Caruso. Villanueva, the sheriff, what they've been doing to him is unbelievable. Not a day goes by that he doesn't get vilified by the LA Times. And some of the most ridiculous stories I've ever read. I mean, when you look at it, you think it's comedy.
All right. Well, Alex is going to join us in a moment. He makes the rounds. I've seen him on many, many shows, including my own, talking about these things. And it's just turned into some sort of Orwellian hellscape out here in Los Angeles. And we're having arguments over – I don't even know what we're arguing over.
Well, there
anymore.
He is.
Somebody wants to do something about it. Alex Villanueva has joined us. And by the way, you can just check out his website. It's Alex, VillanueVa.org. Alex, good to speak to you again, my friend.
Howdy there.
We were just talking about the LA Times, and I get such a kick out of the LA Times going after you. They've got that one columnist who is, I think he's assigned to just slam you each day. They've got Aline, who's over there taking shots at you left, right, and the middle. And I was telling Gary, I sent it to him, my favorite thing and why I told Christine we have to get you on is, where was that ad that you took out for the LA Times? This one. I love this. Tell us about it. This is the best thing I've ever seen, and I was just telling Adam before you got on here, this is Adam's whole problem with the LA Times.
Yeah, the endorsement thing. Just call balls and strikes, write stories. Don't pick a side. And then, and by the way, I'm not listening anymore because yeah. I know who you like. I know who you don't like. So you're going to write a fluff piece about the person you like, and you're going to write a hit piece on the person you don't like. And why should I listen? I'm just considering the source.
So what happened there, Alex? Could you tell us?
Well, we knew walking in that, one, I was never going to get the endorsement anyway, even if I wanted it. So I figured, well, let's have some fun with this thing. And I wanted to interview with them just because I had the chance to talk to them and pick their brains and throw some shots at them. And we already had the letter. So as we were speaking to them, we sent the letter to them, kind of like, by the way. And they didn't take it very well.
No, they don't. They've got the thinnest skin of any news organization I've ever seen. They take shot after shot at you, but God forbid that you push back. And they tell you, oh, you've got such thin skin. No, you're trying to take me out, you pieces of crap.
Yeah, no, it was comical because and our beef with the Times goes way back since I've taken office. They refuse to report newsworthy information about the department if it casts us in a positive light. Like, for example, when I kicked ICE out of the county jail, that's a big thing. Right. I got hate mail from the Trump White House. And it was very important for people that live in L.A. County, particularly the immigrant community. You would think it'd be something that the Times would cover. Oh, by the way, a campaign promise made, kept, big impact on it, not a word from the Times, as if it never happened. Right. Because it casts us in L.A. a positive light. In another state, not so much, of course, but this is the L.A. Times. And then body-worn cameras, exact same thing. We fought tooth and nail from the very beginning. And, oh, my God, as soon as the Board of Supervisors declared that they were victorious, yeah, they've been fighting us tooth and nail to prevent us from getting body-worn cameras. That's news, but not covered.
It's what started it. I mean, you and I were not familiar with one another when Jim was running, and I was a supporter of Jim's. And so I came to you kind of wary, if you will. But you have kind of transformed over the last, how many years you've been in office?
Three and a half.
So I was going to say, the last 3 years, I have warmed up to you like I can't believe, because you kind of remind me. By the way, you're a Democrat, are you not?
Yes.
Right. But the party has abandoned you, correct?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that wild? And it's the same way I feel. I don't know why the party has decided we're on a kamikaze mission. I don't get it.
Well, because they've set up a system of rules, and the rules are much like Barbara Ferrer and the COVID system, which is if we have to have below 2.5 new infections and people between the ages of 14 and 186 in order for us to lift these, it's like we can never rise to that. Now, the Democrats have done the same thing. You right. can agree with them on abortion, you can agree with them on trans rights, you can agree with them on gay marriage, but if you have thoughts about the border that run afoul of them, then that's it. All you have to do is disagree with them on one thing, and they'll boot your ass out of the party.
You get excommunicated. And Alex, I'll let you talk, but the one thing that I thought you made perfect sense on the mandates, and you elaborate on it, he says, he comes out and says, look, my workforce tilts right. I'm not going to lose 30% of my workforce with a mandate. Isn't that what you basically said?
It's right on the money. And this is just common sense. I got over 1,600 employees of more than 27 years on, and these are all your homicide investigators, all your very senior people. They can walk away and not bat an eye if someone tries to impose a mandate on them. You have to know your workforce. I told the county, the Board of Supervisors, this is insane for us. It's a suicide pact. We already have, we've been defunded, we're severely understaffed, probably the worst in the entire nation, and on top of that, they want to throw, oh, by the way, let's lose 4,000 of your employees.
Overnight, right? Because you're getting a deadline. It was kind of a zero tolerance thing. And you got excoriated for actually speaking truth.
Oh, not only did I get excoriated, I'm vaccinated, boosted, my whole family's. I support the vaccine, but I support as a personal choice. Overnight, I became an anti-vaxxer somehow. And I don't know. I was never notified of this thing, so I'm not sure how it works. So
yeah, that's how the game is played. And it's also, there's an undercurrent of it, which it feels to me like the mom of one of your friends when you're growing up who was a bitch. It's like all you have to do is defy them. 2%, 3%, just a little pushback, just a little slow your roll. Here's why that's at. And now you've defied them. And now we're not even really talking about the subject anymore, the nuts and the bolts or the pros or the cons. It's simply you have defied us, and now you're in trouble. And now, you know, you could be an anti-vaxxer, you could be a racist, you could be whatever it is you are after that, because you essentially defied them. They never get pushback. You push back, you know, Tin Horn Flats is a restaurant 3 miles from here. Mark represents the former owners, and they defied them. They defied their non-science of outdoor eating being a vector of transmission. They dared to defy them, and they just showed up like jackbooted thugs and fenced the place off and shut down a 50-something-year-old family business. It's really about defiance. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me.
What do you, no, you know, Alex, there was a letter, I can't believe it made it through the Times filter this morning, but there was a letter. Gary, do you have it to put it up? I don't know if the sheriff has seen it, but there was a letter to the editor today, which I got a big kick out of. Let's see if Gary can put it up and see if you see it. Because for those who don't read the Times, and their readership has dwindled down to, it's about, I mean, they tweet out, and if they get 9 tweets or retweets, it's something. But there was somebody who said, here it is. Read it out, Gary. Can you read it?
It says, letters to the editor. He voted for Villanueva. I have never been this sorry for a vote I've cast.
Yeah. Then down, you scroll down below, and it turns out there's another one, Gary. See if you can find it, where the guy says, every time I read one of these Gustavo articles or columns, he says, I support the sheriff even more. And, you know, it's kind of my feeling. I mean, the fact that they've taken you on the dumbest issues is beyond belief, don't you think? Why? What is their motivation here?
Well, the scary thing is, and I'm pointing out the obvious, when we're talking about historical levels of rises in murder, in homelessness, things are impacting everyone's lives, livelihoods. The entire economy, this tourism based in LA County, is in tatters, and it's just hanging on for dear life. And I'm pointing out the obvious, say, hey, let's fix this. Let's focus on what matters. The outrage is, wait, I'm wearing a hat that's a symbol of the KKK or something. That is where the conversation goes. And you wonder, what on earth are these people smoking?
It's
horrible.
Can you tell us about the whole Venice boardwalk cleanup situation / debacle? And I will say this is a primer to this. When we decide to do stuff, it happens pretty fast. It's like a construction project. Once all the red tape and everything is cleared, we move pretty fast. And you take a look at a park. I don't know if it's MacArthur Park. I can't remember which park it was. But no, there's
the one over by Langer's. What park is that? The
right? Deli. Yeah, there's a park. Well, any number of parks. Overrun. Just rot with tents and homeless and everything. At some point, we just hit a saturation point. We said enough is enough. They went, now it's clean. It's pristine. It's nice. There's no homeless. Like it happens fast. Like when you want to go down to Venice and clean up, you can do it fast if you want, right?
Oh, yeah. If we have all the resources lined up with the city and the county, we can move with pretty good speed on the ground. And we go to Venice because we got the emails, the letters, phone calls. I mean, it was horrible, the images coming out of Venice. I mean, people burning in tents, dogs burning alive, and houses that were set on fire by transients, open-air drug market, people beating each other with sticks. I mean, the worst-case scenario, remember, that place is the number 2 tourist destination in all of Southern California. It's a quintessential L.A. experience is the Venice Boardwalk. And Mike Bonin and the city decided just give it away to the homeless and let whatever happens happen. And I said, no, that's 10,000 jobs, 340 businesses, the cornerstone of LA County's tourism industry. And they were going to give it up. So I said, why don't we do something different? So it worked. We got people to shelter. We finally got the city to get off their tail. Mike Bonin, they finally got the ball rolling. And now the whole boardwalk is clean from one end to the other. Businesses are open. Tourists have returned. It's a positive.
Yeah, but you would never, the LA Times ever cover that? Never. They just,
it's, oh, no.
You were a jackbooted thug. That was the tack they took.
Yeah, I sauntered onto the boardwalk with my 10-gallon hat, and I ordered patrols. Like, our homeless outreach service team is anything but a patrol. They're probably the experts at finding ways to get shelter for people who are homeless, different stages of homelessness, or the hardcore that have been there for decades. They got them moving. They do that. They do a wonderful job. Zero arrests, zero force, and zero coverage by the LA Times. They're just patrols.
Yeah, they don't like the reality is with the Times or anybody on the progressive left, is they just don't like authority, just pure and simple. It can be distilled down to they hate authority. They hated their stepdad, then they hated their school principal, then they hated their coach. Like, they just hate authority. And anyone with a uniform and some gumption, they just can't stand it. Or send me one example from the LA Times where they said, you know, the sheriff or the police stepped up and they took it back and they did what's right. There are none of those stories. It's all brutality and people are.
Well, by the way, one of the interesting, and I'm glad Alex talked about this, I spend a fair amount of time in New York. You realize that the new mayor, who's also ex-law enforcement, mind you, I'm a guy who sues law enforcement, so I'm not exactly a fanboy, but he copied what Alex is doing. He's got that same kind of strike force. They go, they send out an ambulance. They send out a mental health person. They send out the cops. They send out somebody from a shelter. And they basically give these people who are literally, it's an outdoor, you know, mental health kind of crisis that's happening. They give them options. Do you want to go get shelter? Do you want to go in and be hospitalized? Do you want to go and go somewhere else? And here are your options. You're not doing a favor for anybody to let them in the middle of these mental health crises be out there burning stuff, assaulting people, or stabbing people.
Yeah, and you're not helping them.
Has anybody written that New York City has kind of copied your template at all? Would you ever hear that in L.A. from the Times?
Never. No, they would rather eat their own liver than admit something like that.
So that was – the point is when you sort of step back and let the adults do their job, they can be effective, and problems that took years to metastasize get – wrapped up in a number of days. Like, it's a pretty fast turnaround. It kind of springs back. The tourists come back relatively quickly, the traffic, the stores, like it's fast and it can be done.
The sheriff, yeah, yes. Talk about Venice. Venice has sprung back at a speed that is unbelievable to me.
We started in June. By Labor Day weekend, it was back to life like the Venice of old. And we had a lot of people with almost tears in their eyes, like they could not believe the transformation in such a short period of time. So it can work if everybody works together. That's a very big caveat.
What is the plan of those dissenters, the people that are constantly pushing back, the Mike Bonin and city council people? I think Bonin resigned. But thing of
poor, like, Alex has got to deal with the county board of supervisors. I mean, I watched some of your battles with Sheila Kuehl, who, mind you, my big beef with her is she votes for a ban on outdoor dining and promptly drives out to Venice to dine outdoors. Wow. I mean, the biggest hypocrite on the planet.
Yeah, but I never know what their plan is other than not implementing your plan. That's their plan, yeah, right?
Yeah, every single Tuesday, today is one of those days, they usually devote two or three agenda items on the board to somehow attack the sheriff's department. Let's see how we can throw a wrench into the operation by either continued defunding, continue the hiring freeze. Oh, now they want to insert the inspector general to do oversight of the Joint Regional Intelligence Center, which is a fusion center for anti-terrorism at the federal, state, county, city level, where a county, a political appointee, has no business whatsoever to be in, but there they are voting on that, and they know it's patently illegal. What doesn't stop them?
So I think people, there's a mayoral race coming up. People are thinking maybe Rick Caruso, who the Grove, he's a businessman. He's a developer. He's a commercial developer. Now, I like anyone who's a commercial developer because they're the opposite. All these yentas on the city council, they actually fucking have to do something for a living. There's deadlines and a lot. You got to keep track of all the subs and everything else. Now, Caruso's a guy who says, I'm coming in, I'm cleaning up. He's basically running on cleaning up homelessness. The thing that's funny about Caruso, as I was talking to our mutual friend Mike August about him the other day, and I said, I think he's running as a Democrat. And he said, no, Caruso's a long-time Republican. He's a Republican. I go, yeah, he thinks like a Republican, but he wants to get elected in a fucking town where we'd rather have the worst Democrat in the world than an actual effective Republican. And he said, no. Believe me, he's the most Republican of all the Republicans. Look at the guy.
Now, he changed his party affiliation. He became a Democrat before he ran because he's got people advising him. And by the way, speaking of the LA Times, they've already started in on him. They've already, you can see the drumbeat. They are going to, you know, they've made a career out of trying to take down USC. I know because I've been involved in their their lack of integrity on reporting on USC. I've watched that. He comes in. He turned SC around. He wasn't, you know, the Board of Trustees was not happy with him, but he did it. He ran it, and he did something good. So they've already started with, he's a billionaire. How do you know about your yacht? And blah, blah, blah. You can see where this is going.
Right. What do you feel about Caruso?
Well, of all the candidates, I think he shows a lot of promise in terms of being effective at just from an executive standpoint. Because remember, all the candidates that come from the legislative background don't run things, don't have budgets to meet, don't have employees to care for, and a product to deliver. And I think the executive background is suitable for someone to be a mayor. The question is, can he navigate the treacherous waters of city politics that's bent on basically spaying and neutering the executive branch of government?
Well, I think he's going to declare an emergency. And I think he's going to do what Gavin Newsom did to all of us, the wrong direction, which he just claimed this emergency, and now we have dominion over everybody and every fakakta piece
of fake legislation. Which, by the way, we're already a two-year anniversary. We still have an emergency declared. He will not recall the emergency.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's hard to believe. I mean, he knows what will happen if he does. And by the way, the courts – I really have an issue with the courts on this because the courts should have stepped in. You don't. The definition of an emergency is not perpetual. You can't say it's an emergency for 2 years. You either clean it up or you get out.
Well, I think Caruso can claim an emergency. I would go ahead and say the homeless situation does reach the level of emergency. Certainly in Los Angeles, and I think he's going to try to do that, and then he's going to override whatever the city council is. Does that make sense?
Sheriff, Venice is a traditionally, or I think legally, an LAPD jurisdiction, correct?
Yes.
Okay, but you went in there because it was a public crisis or an emergency, correct?
That is correct, and I have the authority to do that all over LA County. And we have about 3,000 of the 4,000 square miles of LA County our sheriff's department jurisdiction, but my responsibility as sheriff is to the entire county, not the parts that are convenient to the political establishment. That's the part they never understood.
Yeah. And have they resisted letting you come into downtown where I am? Because downtown LA, unfortunately, what has happened down there, I was telling before you got on here, we're right next to one of the subway stops on Wilshire and 7th. And Lebanon Alley used to be where the sheriffs, when they patrolled for MTA, would be camped out. And it was safe down there. Now, when they were pulled out, I mean, I've got at least 5 young women who work for me. When I say young, under 40, they can't live downtown anymore. They've moved out. They all within the last 8 months.
Well, this is going to upset you, but I learned this last Wednesday when I took a trip on the Red Line and the Purple Line, right past there. I went to exit in Hollywood and Highland. We did a video about the entire trip. It kind of went viral on social media, over 100,000 hits just within a few days. And we depicted exactly what's going on. The MTA Board of Supervisors or MTA Board of Directors, in their infinite wisdom, decided that we don't want cops with guns on trains because the passengers are scared of cops. So let's replace them with unarmed ambassadors. And oh, by the way, the cops that we do have on the system, we don't really want them making arrests. So let's take away their powers to arrest for misdemeanor quality of life crimes on the transit system. And they'll be just citations only, infractions instead of misdemeanors. So in the old fashioned days when we had control of the entire system, we had something we jokingly called the habeas gravius. Yeah. You eject someone from a train or a bus who is, creating a disturbance and ruining the experience for everyone else and making passengers feel uncomfortable or unsafe. You can grab them, throw them out, and then we have a way to handle it. But the way they did this, they created a metro court. So they created their own court that handles these infractions, which basically the transient just roll them up and throw them back at the security guard and laugh. Nothing happens. So now the homeless sleep 24/7 on the train. So we've created a mobile homeless shelter at taxpayers' expense, and it's no longer really a true transit system to get people from point A to point B. That's what's going on, and directly as a result of the board's decision, which are just astonishing.
Well, also, the thing that's crazy about LA and California is that we're very Green New Deal. We're very earth centric, and we want everyone to use this public transportation. I don't know anyone who would dare get involved with public transportation anymore. There's a residual effect. All it takes is a couple of nut jobs pushing someone in front of the tracks and whatever's taking a dump on the A train, and you just go, fuck it, we'll drive to Dodger Stadium. We'll drive to the.
I mentioned Langer's Lakers before. I used to love to go under the subway and ride it. It was like two stops to Langer's and have lunch. I won't do that anymore. I mean, are you nuts?
This is going to really upset you guys. When we had the whole system, the MTA board decided to break it up. So it's part LAPD, part sheriffs, part Long Beach PD. So they broke up our authority over the entire system. You're paying $30 million more per year for that exclusive experience, including $75 million in LA City cost overruns because they run an entire overtime model, not the sheriff's model. So you're paying more and you have a mobile transient shelter, a homeless shelter on the trains.
Well, let me ask you a question. The LA Times, that vaunted guardian of the public trust, have you ever seen an analysis or a headline about the overtime model versus breaking it up and the safe? By the way, that's just dollars and cents. What about the safety repercussions?
Well, they announced a 36% increase in violent crime, and that is an undercount because we learned that along the route, the MTA is pushing reporting of crime onto local PDs. Local jurisdiction. So say within LAPD's section of the tracks, it'll be whatever division picks up the crime stat and it's not reported as occurring on the tracks. So that 36% increase in violent crime is actually lowball figure. You got to keep that in mind.
What do you make of the crime? Speaking of crime and violent crime and smash and grabs and stuff, I grew up in LA. I've been here my whole life. The violence was usually contained to certain neighborhoods that you probably didn't want to drive through. And the homelessness was that way as well. So Skid Row, that's where the homeless people were. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. There was no homelessness anywhere. But now it's been outsourced, and now it's in Ventura, under the Ventura Freeway, in Sherman Oaks and Studio City. It's ubiquitous now. It is everywhere. And I feel like crime, violent crime, stuff that what I would call brazen crime, like, that the brazen stuff, smash the window, grab the stuff, or you know, jump the person sitting at the bus stop. And that was kind of contained to an area. I feel like people are going mobile now. They're heading out to Beverly Hills and Encino. They're going to where the getting's good. They're like, hey, why are we robbing our broke asses over here in this bad neighborhood? Mm-hmm. Why don't we go 4 miles up the way and get some real jewelry? And it seems to be an epidemic, and it also seems to be affecting the populace, because now all of a sudden people want, you have the people, the Gascon recall, the DA recall. All of a sudden there are other voices coming up, like Hollywood's starting to pipe up a little bit. Hollywood doesn't say jack shit as long as brown people are killing brown people in whatever neighborhood they live in. They don't give two shits about it. They give a little lip service to it, but they don't really give a fuck. But once you start getting into Hollywood, their neighborhoods, now they're going to start having issues.
Oh, they definitely are. And just look at the murder of Jackie Evans. Big outrage, right? And righteously so. 81-year-old lady killed in her own home by a homeless person. Then you got Brianna Cupford, 24-year-old, killed in her place of business in Fairfax by a homeless person. Then you have a 70-year-old nurse, Sandra Shell, killed at Union Station by another homeless person. Then you have Tiona Thea, 16-year-old girl, murdered and dumped on the side of the road like garbage. All of this happened within about 2 weeks of each other. And it shocked the conscience of people that should have been concerned when a 12-year-old boy is shot to death in his home playing video games in Pasadena. But you're right. It didn't hit Hollywood yet until it got closer to home. Now the outrage.
The Jackie Evans, that was the 81-year-old woman who was killed. So it's kind of an interesting thing, because I'd kind of kept an eye on that case, or I followed it, like many people live in Los Angeles, because it was so shocking. She's elderly. She's married to a big producer or a big record mogul. Yeah, producer. And then killed in her home. You know, pretty shocking stuff. I didn't hear anything about homeless. It was just some guys, you know, sort of, I don't know, gangbangers or whatever.
I thought at first the speculation was, me included, that it must have been a hit, because it was just, it didn't compute.
Right. What I'm saying is when homeless people kill people, the LA Times, since they're huge fans of the homeless, kind of tamped that one down.
Yes.
Because they don't like the optics of the people that they're championing that are actually committing heinous street crime.
Yeah, that has to be suppressed, because we don't want the public to be impressed with that. Just like they're suppressing crimes on the trains. For example, 7th and Metro, about 3 weeks ago, a gentleman was shoved in the back by a homeless person and was launched right onto the tracks. Fractured his skull, broken ribs, and they had to de-energize the system to rescue him to get him off the tracks. His only saving grace, there wasn't a train coming by at the time. Totally unprovoked attack, and there are so many cases like that are coming out. Now, the MTA board actively suppresses video images of violent crimes in progress that happen on the trains. And they have the footage. They just don't want anyone to know about it.
Well, you're out there fighting the good fight, Alex. Hopefully we'll get some fresh blood in the city council, or maybe, you know, I mean, obviously everyone I talk to who grew up out here, the answer is, well, when we've bottomed out, then we'll go ahead and change course. And I'm like, is that how life works? Everybody's got a bottom. You have to, your wife has to threaten you with a shotgun before you get divorced. They're like, everything has to hit bottom. And the answer is like, oh yeah, yeah, we just bottom out. And then we can change course, get some new city council folks in there, get a new mayor. And it's like, why don't we just do it? Let's just say we're 13% from the bottom now. Why not just change course now? Or does it, we literally just have to bottom out?
Apparently that's what has to happen. Alex, we really appreciate you coming on today. I just thought, you know, you're fighting the good fight. Couldn't be. I think most people's heads would explode that I'm sitting here talking to the sheriff of L.A. County, who normally I'm trying to hold cops accountable, but you're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, no, we're definitely doing all the reforms I've put into play. No matter how many people I end up terminating, suspending, all the reforms we implement them, everything will never be acknowledged for doing all these things. They just can't admit it, because that's that false narrative they've created. They have to continue to feed it. So, I mean, I can't fire somebody twice. I can only fire them once. And And the sad thing is that, you know what? I have to balance accountability on one side, but I have to support the good work that our deputies are doing. And they are just knocking out of the park day in and day out, everywhere around the county with so limited resources. We're down to 70% of available personnel in our patrol stations. 70%, which means wow. They're working multiple double shifts every month. It went from 12, now we've upped it to 15 just to meet the demand.
Yeah, they're trying to force the LAPD overtime model on you.
it ain't working.
No. Alex Villanueva, thank you very much. You can check out his website or the Twitter, Instagram is at LA Count CO Sheriff, if you want to contact him that way. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sheriff.
All right, you guys got it. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. All right, let me tell you about Freshly. Pre-cooked meals, frozen, tasteless, processed. Freshly, quality meals without the hard work. Designed by nutritionists, cooked by chefs, delivered fresh, ready to eat in 3 minutes. At the end of a long day, takeout shouldn't be your only option. Oh, there's so many good Freshly meals to choose from. I can't even pick a favorite. They're all good. Use the Freshly website or the app to find meals that fit your lifestyle, dietary needs, taste, and family size. Yeah, how much? Choose from over 50 nutritionist-designed entrees, new meals added weekly. Skip the grocery shopping and the dirty dishes. Go with Freshly, right? Right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Stop stressing about dinner. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $125 off your first four orders when you go to Freshly.com/doubt. That's $125 off at Freshly.com/doubt.
All right. Well, there's the Oberlin College verdict that I thought Mark would get a kick out of for a number of reasons. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that case.
Very familiar with that case. And boy, the appellate court on that case, you know, for those who don't remember, there was basically Oberlin set out on a campaign to take out this local bakery, which had been there how long, Gary?
Like 126 years or something? Something insane.
I'll confirm it.
Yeah. And it was based on, once again, to echo the sheriff, a false narrative. I mean, it just caught hold. And they decided that they were going to basically destroy them.
The story was, I guess, a couple of black students came in. One was caught using a fake ID and then possibly trying to pinch a bottle of booze. He ran, you know, the owner's son or something chased after him, got him, called the cops. And, of course, because there is no such thing as an interaction between a white person and a black person now without cries of racism, they then cried racism.
136 years, by the way.
130. What did I say? I said 126, right?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but it started in 1885.
They've been there. They've been serving the college for 136 years, but because somebody chased a person of color out of their store and called the cops, who was stealing, they decided that there was going to be a boycott and an angry mob. And you've heard a version of this story times 1,000 in the last 3 years, sadly. And then the teachers get involved. You know, and there's faculty involved, and they're putting out flyers saying they need to boycott, and they're calling everyone a racist.
Vice president and dean of students was passing out printed materials that cited it as a racist establishment with a long account of racial profiling and discrimination, and it later came out that they used school equipment to develop these flyers.
Right. All right. So there you are.
And by the way, when there was a deep dive, it turned out that virtually everything that was printed was untrue, demonstrably untrue.
Right. But the only way this is going to stop is cases like this.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, somebody, you know, you can have, and there are demonstrable pieces of systemic racism. There are acts of racism all the time. But when you just decide you're going to invoke that in order to destroy somebody, and it's not based on fact, then guess what happens? You get hit for, what was it, Gary, 32 originally?
I think it was 31 because it was 25 in punitive and then $6 million in legal fees.
Yeah, and so, boy, the Court of Appeal just affirmed it and had some rather strong language. I should have sent the opinion to Gary. When I read it, I was somewhat taken aback. They weren't buying anything that the school was selling. And, you know, by the way, who gets punished here? All of the alums who were contributing money to the school. And they think it's going for education. They think it's going for tuition or to defray.
We're going
to
fix the bell. We're going to fix the clock on the bell tower.
Exactly. Instead, it's going to pay off the bakery who they destroyed.
Is it about $40 million? I heard $50 million even. But this was the appellate court that said.
Yeah, this was a Gary, find it for sure, because I believe I read so many cases every day, but I believe this was an affirmation of the jury verdict. I don't think this was a motion for new trial by the trial court. I think this was a court of appeal.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So it's done.
Yeah. I mean, they can take it up again, but boy, if you read this opinion, it's practically bulletproof.
And that's that. They're going to get their $35 million or $36 or $8 yeah. million bucks or whatever it is. And so, look, I'm not a litigious guy, but good. And the reason I say good is you have to slow your roll. If you're going to, if it's Nicholas Sandman or it's a bakery, you can't just launch in on somebody and impugn their character and try to destroy them. There's real consequences. They have real. Look, calling a 16-year-old boy a racist, turning him into a pariah, and essentially trying to do what Nifong did to the Duke lacrosse players, you're destroying people's lives and their livelihood. And if you want to do that, you may, but you then may get slapped with $35 million worth of court.
The reason that you had 40 in your brain is because it was originally awarded as $44 million, and then that was reduced to 31.5, which is where the 25 and the 6 come in.
And I think it already the Sandman case probably already did serve to slow the roll of some of these news outlets a little bit, and this is going to slow down whatever craziness is going on colleges.
I'll tell you what's not going to slow down. Is our researcher Brett found a case today that I hadn't seen. Gary, can you describe this case? Because
Gary loves this case.
I know. This is one of Gary's favorite cases, of the year.
Absolutely. This one is just the poetic nature is just fantastic. This guy is named, James Hellard. He's 49 years old, and he lives up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And he is experiencing homelessness, and he is living at a shelter, which is kind of a camp that has been set up by the city of San Rafael, and it is set up under the freeway. Well, this gentleman broke out his cell phone, downloaded an app that tests the sound around you, and using his cell phone, measured the dBs of the sound of traffic going by on the freeway, and then he whipped out the Center for Disease Control recommendations for how much a worker should expose themselves to sound and whether or not they should be wearing earplugs at a certain point, and he's filed this lawsuit saying that he's being subjected to noise pollution and it's damaging his health.
Could we hold on for one second?
He did his due diligence.
Right. Oh, yeah. I've got many a comment about this, but first, Truebill. Wonder why free trials renew without your consent? It's a scam. That's why. Don't let corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is a new app. Helps you identify, stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, how much do you think you save a year?
Oh,
720. Very good. Truebill has helped 2 million users save over $100 million. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Now, you know why this is so great?
Wait. Hmm. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/doubt. Go right now, Truebill.com/doubt. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/doubt.
I love it. So all right. Now, by the way, I want to applaud this guy for one thing. This guy put together the decibel levels.
He did the discovery.
He did the discovery. Went to the CDC website. And then presumably, I don't know, Gary, does he have a lawyer, or is he in pro per?
I believe he's in pro per. We're working on getting the details on that.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is a rather amazing little job that he's put together here, don't you think?
I'd hire him.
Right?
I don't. This guy seems fit. He seems mentally agile.
Right.
He's certainly able to navigate the internet. Essentially, my argument was if I was the
Do you think? What if he applied for a fondelier's job? Do you think you? Yeah. What do you think?
Huh? Those are some pretty big flip flops.
Yeah. Come on. Don't besmirch my friend's name like that.
Well, look, my argument, if I was the judge, would be I'm not going to argue with you over DBs, although let's face it, every leaf blower in every city that's around here is going, is pegging that DB meter, and we don't do jack squat about that. So we don't have a rich history of enforcing decibel laws, but I don't want to focus on any of that because you can't argue with the numbers.
Right.
You, my friend, claim you're unemployable or unable to work.
This guy based would be on a what star, you presented he'd be me, a star paralegal in any operation.
Yeah, I think you're very employable, and you can use this skill set and apply it to almost any application, and certainly overqualified to work at a Starbucks. But let's just start there. He's wearing prescription frames. He's cleanly shaven. He's able to take care of a dog.
I like the black shirt, khaki slacks look too. He's very presentable.
This is, you're very employable. And so I'm going to sort of use your case, which is this exceeds the allotted OSHA DB requirements. Good. Let's get you out of there and into a job.
Right. I love it. Gary, we're going to have to follow up with him.
Oh, I'll be watching carefully for updates.
Yeah, and I apologize. I forgot to tell you about a hard out since I was doing my thing here. Is that a bad is that a bad deal?
We got all we need out of you. Maybe too much, some would say.
Exactly.
You've overstayed, you're welcome.
I've overstayed it, but thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, well, give my love to Jake.
I will. He's waiting here as my driver today, or actually my
Jake back there?
Jake's back there.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Very good.
Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Thanks, all right, guys.
Love to Jake. And I'll tell you about Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Or of course you would. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condos, and renters insurance coverage as well. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance. And when you switch to Geico, well, it's a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you could save. Simply go to geico.com, get a rate quote, or contact your local agent. All right, you can go to adamcarolla.com. Live shows Indianapolis, Denver, Springfield, Missouri, San Diego, Huntington Beach coming up. And you can check out my Truth Yeller episode with Bill Shatner. That's available only at the Daily Wire. I want to thank Alex Villanueva for coming on. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Sheriff Villanueva and Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike.
And this is Gibby.
And we're the hosts of the True Crime All the Time Unsolved podcast. If you haven't already, we'd love to invite you to come check us out. Starting in January of 2017, we've amassed over 230 episodes of some of the most intriguing unsolved cases in true crime history. We cover some of the very big unsolved cases, but we also like to cover some of the lesser known cases, some that you may have never heard of. We dive into the details. We talk about the victims, their life, the circumstances around their disappearance or murder. murder, and we cover the potential suspects and persons of interest. We try to give you all the known facts you need to satisfy your amateur detective. We like to think that we don't take ourselves all that seriously, but we take true crime very seriously. You can listen to True Crime All the Time Unsolved now on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you want to.